John 15 and Psalm 1. But before we get really cranked up, I want you to know we're talking about something that I think is really important all the time, but at the beginning of the new year is a great time to talk about it. We're talking about a word that we don't use very much. It's called abiding, and it's one of my favorite words. And if you know me or have been to church here for a while, you've probably heard me talk about abiding. But before we talk about that, I want to share something that I think is super, super important and something that kind of works behind the scenes here and that you may not know. When I think about student ministry here at Fellowship, I think about three pillars. Okay, you know what a pillar is? It kind of holds something up, and it kind of holds up student ministries here. It's the things that we think are super important. And I guarantee you, if you're a sixth grade boy, you don't know this, so you probably want to listen. Okay? When I think of the three pillars of student ministry here, I think about the Word of God, okay, which is why we spend time on Sunday morning reading the Word of God and talking about in community groups what that means and what God is saying to us through His Word. And then I think about community groups. And I think about a place, not just, you know, you're in lots of community. You have sports teams and some of you are part of bands and you have friends that are groups, okay? I'm talking about biblical community, a community that you're a part of that seeks to be in and understand the Word of God. So biblical community, a place where you can be who you really are, vulnerable, transparent, share with the people in there your thoughts, your heart, your struggles. And so we want everyone to be a part of biblical community. So the Word of God, biblical community, and then the third one is mission. We want you to be on mission. We serve a missionary God, a God who went on mission and came and was a part of us. We just came out of a season where we talked about Emmanuel. We talked about God with us, a God who sent His Son as a missionary to us. So if we serve a God who is on mission and we want to be more Christ-like, we should be on mission, right? And so I know that a lot of your families have got local missions that you do, okay? I know that as I look across the room here, I know some of you are involved in MUST, okay? In the summertime, you make lunches for kids who otherwise wouldn't have lunches. Some of you are part of the Atlanta Mission, okay? Where you go and you help people who may be homeless, in between jobs, whatever it is. Some of you are on mission in your school. We've heard the stories of our students sharing the gospel of Christ where they go to school, on your sports teams, in your clubs, and you live on mission. But for the vast majority, you're still trying to figure out, what does that mean for me? What's my mission? What does it mean to live my life on mission? We think it's really important. I went on my first mission trip. It was just to Atlanta. It used to be a place called Techwood Homes. Okay? It's not there anymore. They got rid of them when the Olympics came. Techwood Homes was a place where the people who lived there had much lower incomes than most of the people you know. I didn't want to go. I was afraid to go. Okay? I didn't want to talk to people I didn't know. I didn't really want to do service stuff. And I didn't know what to expect. But I went because my friends were going. And so I remember as a seventh grader going to Techwood Homes. And you know what they had me do? They had me clean the bathroom of somebody's apartment. And when they told me what my job was going to be, I was like, no, sir. No. That is not mission work. But I did it. And you know what happened while I was And you've got to understand something. I'm a weird dude. Okay, I've got weird little quirks. And one of my things is smells. I don't like we have two cats, which means we have a litter box. Okay? And if one of my, you can hear when the cats go in there because they scratch. And I know I've got to get rid of something right away. You got to scoop it. For those of you who don't have cats, congratulations. You guys are living the life. Okay? I will go in with my shirt over my nose because I'm just that sensitive to it. When my children were babies and it was my turn to change a diaper, okay, I would hold my breath for 2 minutes with my shirt over my nose, okay? And if I had to take a breath, I would have to leave the room and come back in. Isn't that weird? That's just me, okay? But in the middle of cleaning this bathroom, I experienced God in a way that I had not experienced God to that point. All of a sudden, God did this thing in my heart where I went from doing something I didn't want to do to having compassion for people in a way that I had not previously had compassion. It's like that scene in The Grinch where his heart grows. So like three sizes or something like that, right? Yeah. And then there was a long time before I went on another mission trip. And the next mission trip I went on was cool, but it was a building trip. And then I came to fellowship and I went to Guatemala. And I took a bunch of middle schoolers with me, which a lot of people said, don't do it, okay? And on that trip, not only did God speak to me, not only did I see God in a way that I'd never seen him before. Do you know the scripture that says, taste and see that I'm good? Taste and know that I'm good? God talking to us. Experience God and know that I'm good. I experienced that. My picture of God got much bigger than it had previously been. And I saw middle schoolers doing stuff that I never get to see middle schoolers do. Stuff that middle schoolers are afraid to do. I saw a middle schooler sharing their faith with adults who don't even speak their language. I saw middle schoolers praying for families and expecting that God would do something because they prayed. This is not stuff that typically happens on a Tuesday morning at school, is it? But what if you went into your school with an attitude that the same God you experienced on mission somewhere else was the same God who's in your school? And that if you would listen to him and follow him into your school and be obedient to him there, that he would do amazing things through you in your school would change. Your friends would change. Your heart would change. So I say all that to say this. We're taking a trip in March that got delayed because of the volcanoes. But we've got another one coming up in June. And if you're interested, I'm not saying you know for sure you're going to go, but if you're interested in learning more about the trip, or right now you feel like God's saying, hey, maybe that's you. You see the Guatemalan flag with the word interested on it? I would challenge you to write your name and your number on the sheet of paper. It's not there anymore. Maybe it got moved to the hard table there. Is that it? Perfect. Can you put it on that black table right there? Thank you very much. Write your name and your number, and I'll reach out to you. And if you have any questions, I'll talk to you about it. Yeah. If you don't have a phone number, just write your name. I'll send smoke signals. All right. So there's actually a pretty smooth transition from that, living your life on mission, to what we're talking about this morning. I asked you when I came up here, did you have a good New Year? You know, your holidays were great, this kind of stuff. Did you know that this time of year, gyms, okay, workout facilities experience a huge bump in the number of people who are coming in and signing the dotted line and saying, I want to be more fit in the new year? Why do you think that is? People don't want to be fat. Yes. Yeah. People ate too much over the holidays. They didn't exhibit, you know, good willpower maybe. Okay. Yeah. Okay. What else? Yeah. Yeah. New Year's resolutions. They've decided this is something I want to do. So here's my question for you. I'm going to need some help here. When you decide there's something you want to do or something you want to be better at, okay? When I was a kid, you know what I wanted to be better at? I wanted to be better at dribbling, okay? Not out of my mouth, but with a basketball. I wanted to be better at dribbling a basketball, okay? And so you know what I did? I took a basketball with me everywhere I went, okay? Everywhere I went. When I was sitting down, I would dribble in between my legs, okay? When I was standing up, I would dribble. And you know what happened? I got better. I didn't get good. I got better. Okay? Good enough for, you know, a 6'4" guy to be able to dribble the ball. I will tell you a story, though. The reason I wanted to get better at it is I was on a fast break one time. Okay? If, for those of you who don't, just ignore me if you don't know anything about basketball. I was on a fast break, and a dude came up. It was just him between me and the goal. And I'm dribbling, and I'm dribbling, and I'm thinking, I don't know what to do. Okay? Like, I guess I'll dribble around him. And then something said, go behind your back. Okay? And I will never forget this. At this point, I'm about at the top of the key, just in between the three-point land and the top of the key. And he lunged toward the ball, and I dribbled around my back, caught it with this hand, took one more dribble, and then went up like this. It worked so well that it scared me. And I never, like, I didn't even hit the rim with this layup. Okay? But I walked away thinking, that was the best move ever. Okay? I wish I could do that more. All right. So I wanted to get good. So I tried harder. And isn't that what we're taught to do? When you want to get good at something, you do what? You practice. Okay? You practice. And some of us who are perfectionists say, you know what? Practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. Okay? So you make sure you're doing the right things when you're practicing. Okay? And there was a study that said, hey, if you want to become an expert at something, guess how many hours you have to spend doing it? Adult men? Ladies? How many hours? 10,000 hours. Thank you, Andy Lubin. 10,000 hours. Hours. I don't know what that translates into. Days. Somebody do the math real quick. 10,000 divided by 24. Okay? That's a lot of hours. But the whole idea is, if you want to get better at something, common wisdom says you do it more, you work harder at it. 416 days. 24 hours nonstop. Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you something this morning. You know what I'm interested in for you? I'm interested in you being a fulfilled Christian. Somebody who loves the Christian life, and the Christian life exudes from your life. It overflows from your heart and your mouth and your actions. That's what I want for you. So common knowledge or common wisdom would dictate that if you want to get better at being a Christian, work harder. I'm going to tell you that's not true. You don't work harder at the stuff. So I'm going to ask, and I know some of the Christian school kids in here will be able to answer this question. If I ask you, what does a good Christian look like? What are the characteristics in their life? Okay, we call them the fruits of the Spirit. All right, what are those things? Can somebody name them? One of them rhymes with schmentalness. Schmelf control. Yeah. Okay. Do you know them? Yell them. She said love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control, gentleness. Yeah. Yes. I can't hear you. Faithfulness. Okay, so here's the thing. The Bible's got a long laundry list of characteristics that every Christian should have, right? If you're a Christian, you should be loving. You should be gentle. You should have self-control. You should be kind. You should be patient. Okay? You should be faithful. Okay? And when we see good Christians, they're full of these things. And the mistake we make as Christians sometimes is thinking, if I want more of those things in my life, I should pursue those things. I should try harder to be faithful. I should try harder to be self-controlled. I'm not going to tell you that's wrong, because there is some trying that goes into it, but that's not where your focus should be. If you want those things to be true of you, and that's what I want for you, I want you to be more Christ-like. I want you to be that kid at your school when somebody looks at you, they know there's something different about you. And even if they don't know that it's Jesus in you, they know there's something desirable in your life. You need to shift your focus to Jesus. And the word the Bible uses to describe that, I'm telling you, it's one of my favorite words, and we don't use it, so we don't really know what it means, is abide. Abide. So if you've got your Bibles and they're open to John chapter 15, I want you to follow along with me. I'm going to start in about verse 4. I'm going to read straight through. Abide in me. And I in you. Now, who's talking here? Yeah, Jesus. Jesus is talking, okay? Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine. You're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it's he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If you abide in Jesus and Jesus abides in you, you'll bear what? Much fruit. And we just listed a bunch of fruit, right? A bunch of fruit. All those characteristics that make up a good Christian. If you will abide in him and he abides in you, those things will become true of you. So I want you to think about the fruit tree. And I'm telling you, I probably talk about this once every 2 years. So if you've heard this, listen anyway. I had a fruit tree outside of my office at a church I worked at. It was an actual pear tree, not just one of those stinky fish trees. Okay? And it grew pears. And I like pears. Okay? I want you to, in your imagination, imagine me going outside of my office, clipping one of the branches of this pear tree and bringing it into my office so that I can have pears whenever I want. No. In this story, I did. I don't ever have to say this. This is not a true story. Okay? This is a parable. All right? A parable? All right. I've got this branch in my office, and it doesn't take me very long to realize this branch is not growing fruit. Okay? If I'm smart, I'll realize very quickly that no matter how hard I try to get this branch to grow fruit, it won't grow fruit unless what? No, not water. It'll just be wet. Unless it's connected to the tree. Because you know what branches are? Branches don't produce fruit. The fruit comes from the sap and all the goodness that's coming through the tree. Branches are essentially fruit hangers. Okay? The branch's number one job is to be connected to the tree. That's our number one job. That's where our focus should be. That's what abiding means. Abiding means spending time with Jesus. And the ways you do that, there's a few. The number one way is in his word. So if you want these things to be true of you, if you want a Christian life that makes a difference in the world and even in your own heart, spend your time figuring out how to best be connected to Jesus. And I think one of the problems is we don't know why we should be connected to Jesus. And here's what it is. He loves you. Boys in the back, put your phones down and look up here. That's a free one. We don't have to talk to your parents about that one. Jesus loves you. Not because you're awesome. Because I hate to be this guy. Crawford told us last week, you're really not all that. He said it, not me. I think you're amazing. Crawford said you're pretty average. You've got a lot of special things about you, just like everybody else in the world. Listen. Jesus doesn't love you because you're awesome. Jesus loves you because of the love that Jesus has in him. And the fact that he offers us this love, exhibits this love, gave his life so that we could be made right with God, so we could experience his love, so that we could abide in him. Nobody will ever care more for you than God. Not your dad, not your mom, not your boyfriend, not your girlfriend, not your husband, not your wife. Shh. If there's one person who's worth spending time with, it's Jesus. I'm going to wrap up. I'm going to tell you just a quick story. It's not even my story. It's a story by a man named Bob George. And it kind of shows us how this works. Listen. Close your eyes. I want us to walk through the front door of a house. Close your eyes. As we walk into this house, we go into the living room and we see a man there. And he's sitting on the couch. And what we don't really see very clearly is that he's got some AirPods in his ears. But what we do see is that he's tapping his toes. He's slapping his knee. He's bobbing his head. He's got a big smile on his face. He's moving in rhythm. And we're very smart. So we realize quickly that this dude is listening to music. And doing all the things that come naturally when you listen to music. Well, there's another guy that lives in the house. And he comes in and he sits down and he nods at the first dude. And the first guy kind of smiles and nods back and keeps doing what he's doing. And this guy looks at him and he goes, you know what? That guy's having an awesome time. He's smiling. He looks like he's having fun. I would like to be happy like him. I'd like to be having a good time too. And so he starts to do the same stuff that that dude is doing. The first thing he does is he puts a smile on his face. And then he starts nodding his head. And he starts tapping his toe. And he starts kind of moving in this rhythm. And he does this for about 45 seconds until he realizes, this isn't nearly as much fun as that dude's making it out to be. It's kind of boring and tiring, and I think I'm done with it. And he politely gets up, nods at the guy, and walks away wondering what that was all about. Open your eyes. This is the difference. The first guy was acting in a way that was consistent with listening to music. The stuff that he was doing was coming naturally because of the music that was in his ears. The second dude was just trying to do the stuff. And he looked like the first guy, but there was no life in it. And you can do that with the Christian walk too. You can try to do the stuff apart from the music, which is that relationship with Jesus Christ, the abiding, the spending time with Jesus. You can do the right stuff, and people will look at you and think, man, that guy looks like a Christian. But inside, you'll know something. You'll know, you know what? I'm just getting tired. There's not life in this. Because the secret is the life comes through Jesus. He's the vine. We're the branches. All of that stuff will begin to flow naturally from your life if you will abide in Jesus, spend time with Jesus. Let me pray for you. God, thank you for this group of students. I thank you that you've got your hand on them. I pray right now that the ones who are listening to you will hear your voice this morning, God. Whether it's about living on mission or about your love for them, that they will hear you loud and clear. And God, I pray right now for the students who are ignoring you, who are actively saying, I don't care. I don't want to hear from God. I don't think he's talking to me anyway. That you'll do whatever you need to do to get their attention. And that when you've got their attention, they will experience your love and your truth, God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.